Welcome to another episode of Arboriculture. This time round, we're going to be talking industry regulation, or more specifically, arborist licenses. We have all been crying out for industry regulation for as long as I've been an arborist, and it's probably one of the biggest pain points of the industry. Unqualified cowboys going around doing the work that we should be doing and charging about half the price. We do need to clean up the industry, everyone agrees. Everyone wants regulation, and it is finally here in the form of licenses, so to become a licensed arborist. Now, that being said, it is not yet law. The Australian government has indicated to us, or to Arboriculture Australia, that they are willing to license arborists and regulate the industry, but we have to show them that we want regulation by voluntarily purchasing a license for ourselves. Now, Arboriculture Australia has set up a licensing program, and I caught up with the general manager, Roxanne Price, to talk in a little bit more detail about it. And this is how it went.
Tell me, Roxanne, when did Arboriculture Australia begin issuing licenses, and what prompted it?
So the license was initially launched at our 2017 annual conference, which was in Canberra. Mm-hmm. And the first licenses were actually issued at the conference.
Right.
It was prompted by that call for industry regulation. Some time ago, we had spoken with government representatives about how we would go about having the industry regulated, and the advice that was received was that the first step was to introduce a system of voluntary licensing,
mm-hmm.
and then when we get to 10,000 members, the government will consider regulating the industry.
Wow. Okay. That's huge. All right. And what's the response been like so far?
It's a mixed response. The big companies that would be the ones that really got things going are concerned about the administrative overhead for them of actually going through the process of providing all of the documentation that's necessary for their staff to be issued licenses. And so until we come up with a method of making that easier for big companies to do,
mm-hmm.
they're not really interested in taking up the license. There's been a fair response from individuals, but again, it's something that we really need to be promoting as an organisation to actually get things moving.
Yeah.
And we have a plan in place for that.
Okay, great. Yeah, and that's what sort of prompted this interview for me. I discovered it on your site, and I thought, I had no idea that you guys were doing this. I thought, wow, we really should do a bit of an interview, and we can promote it there. Hopefully I can promote it to some of my guys and help get the ball rolling.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic opportunity for us to actually start promoting.
Yeah, for the whole industry, I think it is.
Yes.
It's great. So I understand there are two tiers of licenses. What's the difference between them?
So really the differences between the two licenses are whether people are continuing their education. So the tier mm-hmm. one license is for professional registered consulting and or practicing arborists.
Right.
And within that tier, there are three categories of license. So there are quite a lot of categories of license, which means that there's something pretty much for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But that tier one license requires specific qualifications. It requires specific insurances, and it also requires a commitment to ongoing education.
Okay.
For people who don't have those specific qualifications or don't want to commit to continuing their education, then the Tier 2 license is the option for them. There's five categories in that one.
Right.
And the major thing in the Tier 2 license is that all license holders must have a construction induction card.
So a white card, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the Tier 2 would probably be what I'd imagine a lot of guys would sort of go for. That'd be the sort of they've done
yes.
their Cert 3, they're insured, and they just want a license.
Exactly. And yeah, that Tier 2 is definitely the more popular of the two because
mm-hmm.
it has less requirements. requirements
I can imagine,
to achieve
yeah.
it.
Okay, okay. And so does a business get licensed or does an individual get licensed or is it sort of both?
No, licenses are issued to individuals only because it's the individual who has the qualifications.
Right, of course.
So a lot of businesses will pay for their staff to have licenses, but the license is still issued to the individual person as opposed to the organisation.
Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense too, because so many of us get contract climbers in and, you know, groundies coming in and it's, yeah, you kind of, you'd want them licensed if they're going to be climbing for you. So, okay. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And, how would like someone listening, an arborist, obtain a license? What do they need to present? You mentioned they need a white card. As a minimum, I imagine Cert 3 and insurance, would that sort of cover it? And then they could just sort of send that to you and they could get licensed? Is that how it works?
It really depends on the tier of license as to what information they need to provide. But the basics are we need a passport size photo to be able to issue the license with the photograph on there.
Mm-hmm.
We need a copy of a passport or license to verify that the person is who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
We need copies of their qualifications and a copy of the construction induction card. So they're the minimum requirements. The application form is on the website and the membership or the license brochure is there which specifies these requirements. But they're the basic ones.
Okay.
It becomes a bit more complicated when people are going for the tier two license and they're the registered professional consulting or practicing arborists.
Right. Yeah.
And we need insurance information and everything as well.
Okay. Yeah. I can imagine. I did see a bit of information about that on your leaflet, so I can certainly put a link under this interview for anyone wanting to read about it.
That would be great.
Yeah, not a problem. Happy to do it. So would people need to be a member of Arboriculture Australia to get these licenses?
For the tier two license, no, they don't. But for the tier one license, because to have the tier one license, you need to be a registered professional consulting or practicing arborist. The only way you can achieve that is by being that
member.
So the license is actually included in that membership fee, so there's no extra cost for the license. It's just a matter of providing the qualifications and maintaining those continuing education units.
Okay, it sounds like it's sort of all wrapped up together if you're going to be a member of Arboriculture. Okay, great. And how long is it valid for? If I got one now, is it valid for 12 months, 5 years, 10 years? How does it work?
Depends on the license. So again, the tier one license, because it's tied in with the continuing education units, which have to be achieved annually,
mm-hmm.
it's a 1 year license. For the tier two license, they were initially issued with an expiry date of 31st of December 2020,
mm-hmm.
But they will be a three-year license.
Beyond that, okay.
From then on, yes.
Yep, okay, great. And tell me, so we have spoken a lot about industry regulation. You hear it through the industry all the time. Licenses are definitely the first step. I think what you're doing is fantastic. But what is it going to take for the arbor industry in general to be like plumbing or the electrical industry in Australia? What's it going to take to get government on board? Who do we need to sort of convince to really sort of take it to the next step?
Well, as you say, the licenses are definitely the first step. So to see our industry regulated, we need to convince the government that that's what the industry wants. So currently the license system works on a voluntary basis. Realistically,
right.
We need to convince the industry of the benefit of being licensed
mm-hmm.
in order to achieve the number of licenses we need for the government to be convinced that this is what the industry wants. So the indication is 10,000 licences is the number that we need to have out there before the government will consider regulating the industry.
Right, right. Yeah, so it's, we don't need to convince anyone but ourselves first, and then
exactly.
the government will take notes. Okay,
that makes exactly sense. That's exactly
it. Yeah, all right. I'm pretty sure we should be able to achieve that.
Well, I would hope so. And as I said, we do have a project in place now that will make the process much easier for the larger employers to mm-hmm. be able to have all of their employees licensed without going through a lot of admin to achieve it.
Right.
So once we actually have that process in place, I believe that we'll achieve a far greater number of licensed members than we have at the moment. That's just in the trial phase at the moment, but we should have done our first trial before the end of this month, and then we're moving on to a bigger trial in February.
Amazing. Yeah, look, I think if anyone were to be doing it, I think it's Boriculture Australia, and yeah, I think it's fantastic that you are going ahead with it. I think it's great. Tell me, last question, where do you see the license program in 5 years' time?
Well, I would hope that we would be very close to industry regulation by then. I anticipate that by the end of 2019, we will have thousands of licenses issued.
Yep.
At the moment, we only are in the hundreds, but mm-hmm. I would hope that by the end of this year, we've got thousands. And once we get the ball rolling and pick up a bit of momentum, I think we'll actually be driving far greater interest and far greater numbers of license holders. So 5 years' time, we may not yet be regulated, but we will certainly be well on our way towards it.
Fantastic. Well, look, it's a first step. And, you know, at the moment, everyone refers to themselves as a qualified arborist. Let's just hope in the near future, it's more they're referring to themselves as a licensed arborist like they can in the
exactly.
USA and places like that. Well, look, Roxanne,
it's the way forward.
Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And hopefully,
my pleasure.
Hopefully this sheds a bit more light on the licensing program and prompts people to step up and be a part of it.
Absolutely, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Not a problem. Okay, Roxanne, thanks again. Take care.
Thanks, Ben.
So that was it for the interview with Roxanne. Below this video or podcast or article, however you're consuming this information, you will find a link to Arboriculture Australia and their licensing program, the information you'll need and how to get yourself a license. As Roxanne explained, it's a lot more streamlined and simplified these days. If I was going to put my 2 cents worth in, I would say that it's time for everyone to bite the bullet, pay the very small fee, and go to the minimum trouble it will take to get yourself a license. If everyone did it tomorrow, the Australian government would in no time regulate the industry, would clean it up, and it's just going to benefit everyone. So I really do think this is a cause worth getting behind. On that note, I hope everyone enjoyed the information and the interview. This is Ben from GoTreeQuotes.